Hey, welcome back to not just another fitness podcast for fitness geeks only. It's Dr. Mike T. Nelson here. Today, I wanted to talk to you about the concept of leverage and how we can use this to figure out what interventions may be best for our clients, right? So you've probably heard of the concept of leverage, right, from physics. And if you have a big enough lever, you can move huge amounts of load with less effort, right? It's kind of amplifying the work that you're putting in. I also think of the concept of the kingpin. If you've ever looked at logs kind of going down a river, and if they remove just one log, all of a sudden, instead of being all jammed up, all of the logs seem to flow much better, right? So that log had a lot more leverage than the other logs around it. This concept can also be applied to when you're working with clients as to what kind of intervention should you do. On the recovery side, on nutrition and different aspects related to that, we could talk about macros, right? Protein, fats, carbohydrates. Maybe you want to get fancy and toss alcohol in there. We could talk about the production of ketones and different types of diets, ketogenic diet, paleo diet, whatever is the latest trendy one now. I guess carnivore is a big one, or even things like vegetarian, vegan diets, right? And different other aspects of recovery, right? So sleep is something that's very kind of trendy now, which is great. And it gets a little overwhelming to figure out with all these things you could be looking at, what ones do you start with? And I know I've made the mistake in the past of throwing way too many intervention and action items at clients at once, and then kind of trying to figure out, like, why isn't this working? Why aren't they doing what I told them to do? And the reality was I screwed up and I gave them like 17 different things to do, and they only really have the capacity to change so much. So I kind of, unfortunately, just completely overwhelmed them, right? And you can get fancy and even expand this into the concept of exercise cues and things of that nature too. But for today, we're just going to talk a little bit about the recovery side. So when I set out to do the Flex Diet certification, one of the things I wanted to solve was, how do we determine what things most people should start with, right? Because there's a lot of other great certifications out there. They provide a lot of really good information. But I think one of the downsides is it's easy to get overwhelmed with all the possible options of where to go. And the reality is, for a lot of them, you could probably just pick one and you'd still make pretty good progress. So my first thought was, well, I'll come up with a ranking system to kind of rank these based on the physiologic change that they would have. So for example, sleep, I would argue, has very high physiologic leverage, right? One of the ways we can equate this is, if we remove something, does that impair your survival? My bias is that if we can do things to make you survive better, we'll see greater changes in muscle performance, body comp, and also health at the same time, right? And that's where you want to go. I can do all sorts of things to clients to maybe make them perform a little better, but it may make them more unhealthy at the same time. So to me personally, I don't think that is a very good option. So sleep, I could argue, is very high on physiologic change, right? We know that sleep is an absolute requirement for survival. We know that if you don't sleep for several days, you're going to have a whole bunch of physiologic changes that are not going to be good, right? We can even see impairment in insulin and glucose mechanics after only one night of poor sleep. They did a study at the University of Illinois where they cut healthy college-age students' sleep from 8 hours to 4 hours. And what they found was at the end of that study, I believe it was only for 5 days, they were borderline diabetic in that study. Now, again, once they allowed them to sleep, that reversed and they went back to being healthy again. So there's all sorts of things that kind of go offline with sleep. On the physiology side, I could make a huge argument that sleep may be near the top. I could also make a good argument for other things such as protein. Right? We need dietary protein in order to survive. It's helpful for muscle repair and recovery and all this stuff you've heard about. Helps with satiety, so we tend to eat less and we eat more protein. The studies we have so far show that it's very hard to turn protein into fat. So it is beneficial for body composition also. Carbohydrates, while I think are essential for high level speed and power and performance, there really isn't an essential carbohydrate. So we could make an argument that those may be a little bit further down on the list. Again, that doesn't mean that they are not useful. Just if we're trying to come up with a ranking system, I would rank carbohydrates a little further down on that system. The issue that I ran into when I started working with this system just based on physiology with clients is I did a lot of discussion about sleep and why I think they should get more sleep. And the short answer is, and again, if you're a trainer, you've run into this, I absolutely guarantee, it was excruciatingly hard to get clients to make large changes in sleep. There's some stuff we could do to talk a little bit about sleep quality. We could improve their quality of sleep. But the reality is, at the end of the day, having someone who only sleeps 5 to 6 hours and trying to get them up to maybe a 7 to 8 hours of sleep was very difficult. I felt like I was beating my head against the wall because I had all this data, all this research to show how important sleep actually is. But the mistake that I made was I was only rating that on the physiology. And as you know, when you work with clients or even yourself, I rarely find that physiology is the main rate limiter. It's definitely a factor for sure, but I find the psychological ability to change as the biggest thing that will kind of limit your results. I remember Alvin Cosgrove years ago saying that the psychology will trump physiology when you work with clients. Now, there are exceptions to that. You may have some elite athletes who will do whatever you say. But even in populations of elite athletes, they are also humans. They are subject to their own biases and other things that they want to do. They have busy schedule, busy games, and a bunch of other stuff going on. So even in that case, for people on the outside, what I found is it's not as simple as you would expect. So the big mistake I made was thinking that if I just focus only on the physiology, that would solve all my issues and give me a system to rank all these interventions. What I quickly realized was that psychology played a massive role in what I could do with a client and how likely they were to actually implement the thing that I had suggested for them. So what I came up with is the concept of a physiologic leverage. So I took my physiologic rankings and I put them on just an arbitrary 1 to 10 scale, kind of based on the research and what I had found. And then I took the same interventions and I ranked them on the client's ability to change. Right. And this was primarily based on my own experience and from talking to a lot of other trainers and when I'm doing education and seminars. And I said that the physiologic leverage is then the 1 to 10 number for the physiology effects times the 1 to 10 ability of a client to change. Right. So it's the physiologic effect times the psychological ability to change. So when you do this, what I found was that things like dietary protein, right? I said protein has very high physiologic leverage. And I find that telling a client, especially someone who is looking to get better body composition and fat loss, that, hey, I want you to eat more of this particular thing. They're like, really? You want me to eat more of something? I thought you were just going to slash my calories and tell me not to eat anything. It's like, no, I actually want you to eat more protein. Oh, wow. Okay. That's pretty easy to do. And again, it takes a little bit of work and it takes some time. But I found that the ability of clients to change with protein was rather easy, right? Now, if we contrast that to something like sleep, which I had talked about, sleep has very high physiologic leverage, but I found the capacity to change sleep in most clients was very, very hard. So the psychologic ability to change with sleep is very low, right? So the overall physiologic leverage then, that psychology times physiology for sleep ends up being really poor. And I think one of the mistakes clients make, or I would say trainers make, is thinking that sleep is really sexy. Look at all this physiologic ability and all this stuff going on. I'm just going to keep hammering away on my clients about sleep. And to me, that may be useful at times, but it's a really piss poor place to start, right? You want to rig the system in your client's favor. You want to give them things that are going to definitely have a big impact. You don't want to be majoring in the minors, but you want to set them up to win with things that are easier for them to implement. So that's why I think the concept of physiologic leverage is a cool way to then rate all the different interventions that you can do. So when I set up the Flex Diet Cert, that's exactly what I did. So week one is, as you can probably guess, on protein, right? And then I ranked each one of the top eight interventions, 1 through 8, and the ones that had a higher overall physiologic leverage show up sooner in the certification. And my thought and recommendation is to start with those items first. Rig the system in your client's favor, allow them to see some change, some positive wins, and try to do the things that are easier for them to change and have an also bigger physiologic change. So that's allowing them to see results with less leverage. Thus, you are maximizing your leverage. So that's today's thoughts. If you want more information on the Flex Diet Cert, just go to www.flexdiet.com, FLEXDIET.com. There'll be a way you can get on the waiting list and get lots more information through the newsletter. Thank you very much.